welcome to Two Drunken Penguins, an Anarchins Anonymous Radio Production.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I am your host, Will of Two Drunken Penguins, and joining me today is Chris.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Chris, how you been doing, man?
What's going on, Will? Not much, man.
All right, well, as some of you may already notice, we are missing a companion that is typically with us on this show, Robbie. Unfortunately, he's had a conflict and is able to join us for this episode, but we're hoping things will work out further down the road for him to come back with us. But in the essence of keeping things moving, which is what we're attempting to do, we have sports moving forward as well.
Yes, we do.
I mean, we've been missing out the last couple of months with a lack of basketball, hockey, because right now those would be the main things on TV with their playoffs going on.
Yes, indeed. Also, I think baseball would be going on about now, don't you think, Will?
Yeah, we've missed out on training camp from baseball with spring ball. We've missed out on the beginning of the season with baseball.
Yes, we have.
But here's the thing. We got the sports slowly trying to make their return. We've dealt with the COVID-19 issue, and we're slowly coming out the other side, as it would seem for now, unless there's some crazy setbacks that end up occurring. But at the rate things are moving, everything seems to be trying to resume some type of normal.
Yes, so, I have to agree. I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's about time. I've gotten tired of the tunnel, that's for sure.
Damn sure.
But now, with these sports trying to make their comeback, as it were, we've got those three sports that we've mentioned. We got baseball, basketball, and hockey, all trying to see what they can do within the next month and a half, I believe, for most of them, and trying to either have playoff runs or some sort of a season. Well, first, I kind of want to start with the NBA.
All right.
So we have they figured out so far that, yes, they are coming back. They figured out so far that there is going to be one place that they're all going to play, and that appears to be down in Orlando at Disney.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're big partners with them, so it kind of makes sense via ESPN and ABC, so yeah. It helps out a lot.
I would love to play in the Magic Kingdom.
It'd be interesting, that's for sure. I don't know. I guess they have enough stuff that they can move around to make it happen.
Oh yeah.
But that is one place I've never actually been yet.
I have.
But that's a story for another time. But nonetheless, they figured out location. They've kind of more or less figured out when they want to have this start taking place, but they haven't nailed down the format entirely yet. I've heard three different ideas as to the amount of teams that they want to include.
Really?
Yeah, they've got 16, 22,
22.
Or 30. Now, so far, it's leaning towards 22. Now, I'm going to ask you first, which do you think is the better format for them to go with? And then attach a question to that as well is, which do you feel would be the format that they actually will end up going with?
Okay. To answer your first part, I'm baffled at the numbers that they came up with. 16, 22, okay, 22, that's just a weird number to me, and 30. How did they get these numbers? Where did they come up with them? I would love to know. But to straight up answer your question, if I was judging and making the call, it would be 30. My reason for picking 30 is because there hasn't been a damn single game freaking played yet. Well, no. I have to stand corrected. Let me correct myself.
All right.
I've been away for so long with sports. I'm getting overly excited.
Reacclimate yourself, sir.
Yes, let me reacclimate myself. They have played. Excuse me. I would have to say at least 30. And I'm going to stick with 30 only because, I mean, they had to stop the season because of the freaking virus. Now, I haven't done my research on NBA here because I was not prepared for NBA yet today. And that's my fault. So I apologize, everybody. So if anybody else, fans or whatever, want to chime in and get us updated, that'd be great. I'm still sticking with 30. I think it'd be good for the fans. I think it'd be good for all the players involved. It would just be like a real good playoff format, I think, for 30. It would be good revenue, I believe, as well, for bringing 30 teams in and doing a playoff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more players, more teams, more money. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. More sales for the NBA, for merchandise and stuff like that. And actually, you can have more media done as well for the teams and to cover things as well. So, yeah, that's my pick is 30. I think that'd be their best bet. Now, do they have the time frame to do 30? I don't know. It just depends on how far they go with the playoffs and how many games is gonna be, you know, like a 3-game series, 5-game series, how many days off in between, things like that. So that's my thought on that.
All right. Well, me personally, I kind of wish it would be just 16, a sweet 16 type deal. Plain and simple, your top 8 from each division, from the East and the West, and then just let it play out as is. Use their current rankings to, you know, current win-loss records to rank them out, and then just let it roll from there. It would make it a lot easier and to the point. So it's not a lot of extra that they had to deal with. But what I'm hearing is that with the 22, it would have a chance for some of the young stars whose teams are just barely on the outskirts of making, say, that 8th position to be able to still have some play time and potentially grab that 8th position before the actual playoffs were to start.
Okay. I can understand both of those. Both of those are logically, you know, I guess good points in that aspect. I guess I'm just more thinking on the revenue side of things and trying to get juice back in and get the, like I said, the media going up and talking, because a lot of these players do depend now on media engagement to bring up their fan base and to also help with their merchandise sales.
Correct.
So, you know, so that's my angle that I'm sticking to.
See, for me, I'm still kind of – I understand why they would want to try to expand it a bit so that it make it, you know, bring in the chance for the younger stars to start making their name a little bit more. But at the same time, if this was to have happened 20, 30 years ago, they wouldn't have been that concerned about trying to bring in the young stars like that. And I don't think the type of players – now, I am not an avid basketball player or fan that is currently, so it makes it harder for me to sit there and say, you know, the players nowadays are a certain type and they don't necessarily want to get in almost out of charity. They would rather have made it on their own volition during the full season.
Right.
So I know it would, at least from back in the day, whenever I did watch a lot more, that kind of would have seemed like the overall player mentality of sitting there and like, dude, we didn't play good enough during the regular season to have earned our spot to begin with. Why should we have our opportunity now? This season is a done deal for us. We'll focus on next season. Good luck to those that did make it.
And I can see that happening as well.
So,
and that's probably why they don't have a – correct me if I'm wrong in hearing you say this, but they don't have an actual schedule or agreement in playing yet, correct?
Well, they're still trying to – they have, I believe, a date in which they're trying to get everything started by. It's just the format is they're still trying to nail down.
Okay.
So to be able to get everybody back, because there's even talk of doing every team that's within like six games, I think, of eighth place is getting eight quote-unquote regular season games to still play to see if they get a chance to even get into the overall tournament.
Wow.
I don't know. It seems like they're kind of overcomplicating it to me.
Yeah, I have to agree. But I have another question to add to this.
Okay.
What's going to happen if, when they decide their date, what's going to happen if all the sports all of a sudden come all on at once? What's that going to do for TV time and scheduling and all that stuff?
Well, you got to think about who has the contracts. Like, I mean, with ESPN and ABC pretty much have a lock, as well as TNT, TBS. They pretty much have a lock on NBA games for the most part.
Yeah.
And then NBC and all of its affiliation is pretty much set up hockey. I mean, there isn't many other channels that will cover NHL. So NHL, whenever they get their thing going, will probably just be strictly on those channels again, like it is every year for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then for baseball, you know, they bounce around a lot.
Yeah.
You probably got a lot of stuff going to be focused on Fox and their affiliates. So you'll have to, for TBS, you'd have to, you know, finagle the thing a little bit because of Braves games and then basketball games.
Right.
So that'd be one of the ones that would probably be the conflict area, there might be some conflict with ESPN, but they've got so many channels of their own. I don't see that it should be that big of an issue moving forward. They just, you know, talk it out and be like, all right, we're going to show this hockey game on, you know, NBC Sportsnet, you know, network. And then this basketball game is going to be on ESPN. This baseball game is going to be on ESPN2. This other basketball game is going to be on ESPNU. Just because we don't have college right now, so let's throw it on there. It doesn't have to be
right. College. Yeah.
But I have a feeling they'll probably be able to figure it out.
Okay. All right. So then let me turn around and ask you this. The NHL seems to be, to me, the only what do you want to call it, sports group that seems to have their ducks in a row, if you will. They seem to have, they have their plans to return, which were four teams competing for a Stanley Cup. So they already have a format, per se, lined up, ready to go.
Yep.
My question is, though, they haven't picked out which two sites that they want to run for the playoffs. There's 10 contending sites.
Right.
Which one do you think it will be?
My initial picks out of the list that they gave out a few days ago, maybe a week ago now, I can't remember exactly how long it's been, but my initial picks that I thought would suit best, just because of how important hockey is to the area as well,
yes,
would be Pittsburgh and Las Vegas.
Really? Pittsburgh and Las Vegas? Given that hockey is a Canadian sport, you don't think that they would actually pick a city in Canada?
You'd have to also think back to, there's, I want to say, three teams that are in Canada. Two or three teams. I can never keep this part straight.
There's that. There's more than, I think there's at least three. There's definitely three.
There's Winnipeg.
There's Vancouver. There's Toronto.
Yeah. Okay, so it's the three teams, but the rest of the teams are all in America.
Yes.
Plus, you have to keep in mind travel restrictions and this, that, and the other that's going on.
True. So
the majority of everything is going to most likely take place in America. Whether the Canadian team end up winning the COVID Cup, as they've been trying to call it now, or not, it's all going to take place in America, take care to handle all the travel restrictions that still are somewhat in place, and just for convenience sake.
Because
there's a lot of players that just live in America.
True.
So what team they play on. So you've got, it would be easy for, you know, you got East Coast, you got Pittsburgh. It's a really big hockey town. The only problem with Pittsburgh that I would have is how it's set up. It's not necessarily, it may have the hotel space, but that's kind of iffy to be able to host something this big.
Right.
So you've got other places like Columbus, Indianapolis, that area, that actually is set up for stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the Combine over in Indianapolis. You got a bunch of, there's a lot of different towns that are properly prepared for something of that magnitude to be able to host a lot of teams, a lot of big name teams all at the same time.
Right.
But knowing the culture for hockey that has taken over Pittsburgh, it seems like it would make most sense to try to do something there.
Are you just saying this because you are a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, sir?
I'm actually not just saying that.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough, I am not saying it out of bias on this one. And then Las Vegas is almost a no-brainer just due to the fact that it's Vegas. They were talking about having the NBA do their thing there. They're able to clear up spaces in these massive casinos to make shit happen. So if they could do that for the NBA, they can easily do it for the NHL. Why wouldn't they? It would make a lot of sense to do, you know,
well,
teams there. So those are my two picks.
True. And I have to agree with your Vegas point there also. And to add to that, not to add another subject to it, but Vegas is also now the home of the Raiders.
Yep.
Right?
So mm-hmm.
They're going to be opening their season up in Vegas this year. So right. That would also be a booster for the NFL if they were to do these things there. So it would be for across the board for multiple platforms.
So, I'm just waiting for an NBA team to take over Vegas too.
Well, that has to be next on the list because
they've got hockey and they've got football. So
and yeah, yep. We don't have baseball yet in Vegas, no, but that baseball may be coming too.
Now, speaking of baseball,
yes,
we've got two sports that know what they're doing. They've more or less said, yes, we're coming back at least to finish off our playoff runs, going to have a championship for this year.
Yes.
Baseball, on the other hand, baseball has missed spring ball. It's missed training camp.
Yes.
It's missed, what, 2 months worth of regular season?
Yes, they have.
So now they're sitting there looking at salvaging a season. You have the MLB and the MLB BPA, Players Association, throwing proposals back and forth the last couple weeks that are almost light years away from each other in what they're trying to achieve.
Right.
So with more and more time, you know, just ticking away, do you think a season's actually going to happen at all? I mean, we've got some players that don't want it just because they want their money. Somewhat understandable. We've got some players, they're like, we just want to play. What are you thinking? Do you think
we're going to have a season? I'd like to respond to. First off, the players that don't want to play, what is their reason for not wanting to play? Because is it because there's no fans in the stadium? They've signed a contract to play baseball, have they not? So for them to not want to play baseball makes absolutely no sense when you've signed a contract to play. Regardless if there's fans in the stands or not, get your butt up, go play, earn your pay, and go home. That's it. Now, for the season, at the rate that they're going, at the speed of negotiations or trying to figure out which way that they want to go and settling this with the players and all that crap, no, I don't see a season starting. And if they can't get something going forward, I don't care if this freaking 12-team playoff for the baseball championship, which would be really freaking stupid, if you ask me, because there hasn't, that I know for a fact, they started training camp, or not training camp, excuse me, sorry, wrong sport, spring training. They started spring training, but they didn't really get to really do much of anything with it. But there's been no regular season play. How do they know who's who? They're going to have to go off last season's finals to figure out, you know, playoff contenders and things like that. And to me, that just takes away from other teams, because there could have been other teams coming up that we might not have expected to even play for the playoffs. But no, and straight to answer your question, no, I don't see a season happening. And I see it being a huge, huge black eye to the sport of baseball if they don't get it going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. I'm especially after the last proposal that was sent back to the MLB from the Players Association, because both sides are looking at a reduced amount of games for the regular season and then a full playoff. But the players then would be getting reduced pay because they're not playing a full season. And that's one of their biggest issues. So I'm having a hard time really seeing the MLB and the Players Association coming together in time to do anything.
No, I agree.
Because of that, you know, it's going to hurt, because baseball has always been like the pure sport. Well, yeah, it's the national pastime, but there's always been like some, you know, essence to it of it being kind of pure.
Well, it's not pure anymore now.
Well, it hasn't been pure for a while, but it gives off that, you know, illusion almost. Like, you know, we do things different. It's about the game. We're the boys of summer. We're here to, you know, just play and have fun.
Right.
I don't know how they play as many games as they do. To me, it's absolute insanity to be playing 160-something games, whatever it is.
162-plus playoffs.
Exactly. I mean, that is just wild to think about. Like, you're playing half of the year. Yeah, and you still manage to have your off days and your doubleheaders to make up for it and this, that, and the other. But to be able to go and play that many games in a regular season and then still have your playoffs, you're really loving the game at that point.
To be technical, they play for 9 months.
Yeah.
They report for training camp in February.
So
for 9 months, they're doing baseball.
I wouldn't be able
to play until October.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I can sit here right now and tell you that straight up. I would not be able to handle that.
But if you love the sport and you love what you do, you'd freaking do it all the damn time. And that's the truth. I mean, if you find something you love doing, you would do it all the time.
I love football because I didn't have to do it.
What's that?
I'm saying I love football because I didn't have to do it all year round. But, you know, if the baseball thing, like, they've had a couple of black eyes over the years. They've had the big strike that hurt baseball. Baseball was humming along for years and years and years as the top sport in America, and then globally to some extent too. And then they had the strike, which when they came back, they lost a lot of fans off of that one. Then from there, they had, you know, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire doing their thing with the home run races and everything for like 3 years straight.
Yes.
And that really started getting everybody back into baseball again. They were like, ooh, this is exciting. How many home runs can we see get hit by one individual? Oh, more than one individual going off? This is even better. Now it's a competition of sorts just between
them. Right.
And then, of course, steroids. So
yep,
that ended up hurting baseball again.
Yes, it did.
And now the latest thing with the cheating scandal with the signs and all this stuff. So because of the most recent scandal being just this past year, couple that with no season the next year, whoo.
Yes,
I don't know how
really hard to overcome.
I mean, yeah, there's still going to be your hardcore baseball fans going forward that's going to help, you know, lead the way in still being there as a fan base. But for the casual you watchers, listeners, what have you, of the sport, you're probably going to lose quite a few of them. And it's going to take a while to get them back, too. So if you don't have a season of some form, baseball is really going to fall off, in my opinion.
You know, the only thing that might save them, and I'm saying this as a limb to reach out and grab, is the fact that they're not the only organization of sports that is really not playing right now. If they were the only thing that was not playing and sitting out, yes, that would be a huge, 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 you know, I'm not saying it's not already huge, but just think, I mean, if everybody else is playing, but you're not, I mean, that's just, you know, really why that sucks. But with everybody else on the bench too, NBA, NHL, you know, even so that they're getting ready to try to get started, still they're on the bench.
Right.
It only puts them in the same level, like, you know, like you can't blame them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like you can fault them or anything like that, per se. So they could, it could be a fact of like a happiness, if you will, of, oh my God, yes, baseball's back. We haven't had no sports for all year round. Like, you know, with hockey and all that stuff, like, you know, actually not happening if that was the case. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, finally sports, you know, just happiness.
All right.
So like, I've missed it. You know what I'm saying? Like a bunch of fans missing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be like out of mind, forget, forgive until all the media gets involved and brings us all back to what all happened. That's what I'm thinking.
This is going to be my very final point before we wrap all this up.
All right.
You're saying about how baseball's, you know, how they're sitting there and they're still working out details, and it's okay because there's nothing else happening.
Right.
Korean baseball is happening. They figured it out.
Yes, they are.
So if Korean baseball can happen, why can't the MLB? I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Well, I'm going to answer that real quick and give you my opinion, then we can go forward from that. And we can take a break after this. I'm going to say it's got to be money. It's got to be money, you know.
It all boils down to players,
I'm sure, are not making the millions and millions of dollars.
And millions
that Major League Baseball players are making. So I'm going to just go off a limb here, John, and say that it's got to be money.
Yeah, that's what almost boils down to for all of it. But anyhow, so we're going to step away for a little while. When we come back, we're actually going to finish up what we left off with for the last episode when we were talking about football that we got all long-winded on. We're going to go ahead and play up that second segment for y'all today. All right. See you on the other side.
Later, peeps.
Robert?
I don't want to say necessarily. I don't know, because here's the thing. I can't think of where these possible guys may go in the following next season, because here's the thing. These young guys coming in this year, it may not work out. You may see shit get changed up halfway through the season. Like, it may be these older guys coming right back in and taking spots back from these guys. It may not be the built-up media that I think that a lot of people and fans get behind. It's I don't think it's going to work. I really don't. And these guys are going to pick up. They're going to pick up deals. They're going to pick up. They're not going to be floating around. Don't know where they're going, but give it a week or two, or give it just a week or two in the preseason, and you're going to see these guys sign. Guarantee it.
I think I agree with what you're saying. And, I mean, we could talk about the whole media thing, pressing the fact of how we'll use Joe Burrow's example, that he's going to be the guy that comes in and is already being donned as the next Tom Brady. And, you know, that kind of crap irritates the shit out of me. Guys that come in haven't played an NFL snap yet and then already being donned freaking, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback. Mm-hmm. But to kick it back to your question, Will, I think I would like to see either Phillip Rivers or Andy Dalton, one of the two, take it and go all the way with it this year, because both of those guys, with their respected loyalty to their teams that they had with the Bengals and with the Chargers, they gave their blood, their sweat, their tears. They gave it everything they had, and they got shit on all throughout their whole career with their team. They have a chance to go to a greener pasture, if you will, a new start. It may be a short-sighted ending for them, but I would like to wish them the best, but I'd like to pick one of those guys as being a favorite to shine on and actually outshine Tom Brady for once.
I think Dalton will do fine. I think he'll be great down there.
I do too.
I think he's going to be a good fit.
No, there's only two teams that actually have rookies heading into training camp and then the regular season that are possibly going to be their starters. Yeah. With the Chargers, and then with the Bengals. Everybody else is already set. The quarterbacks that they picked are going to be sitting behind their starter for a while otherwise, such as the Packers going and...
That's a whole big topic.
That was one of the biggest surprises.
Talk about this for 2 hours.
I can't necessarily drop off on the fact that the Eagles, though it wasn't first round, still went and picked up Jalen Hurts.
Got him in the second round.
Now, with that, I'm almost kind of curious as to if the Packers and the Eagles are kind of wanting to see about doing a similar situation that the Saints have been doing with Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. See about trying to throw in the extra quarterback, but have him run in different plays just to keep the defense off guard.
That's a good idea.
I mean, most people, when they saw that the Packers moved up in the first round to take Jordan Love, which absolutely just shocked
the whole world,
damn near everybody. It's hard to really say that was why they did it. It almost feels like we're trying to pretty much chase Aaron Rodgers out of town. That's the way I felt about it whenever I first saw it. Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre were the same age when the next guy was drafted. Right. I mean, I don't know. The only difference is Brett Favre had only a couple years left on his contract, where Aaron Rodgers has 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Rodgers finishes up those 4 years. You're already looking at trying to re-up Jordan Love's contract and you might not have ever had him really play a game.
And that's the thing.
So how are you going to know if he's worthy of sticking around? Did you really just waste a first pick and whatever else you used to be able to get moved up a couple of picks? They only moved up like two or three picks,
mm-hmm.
but they still used collateral to do that,
right?
To get a quarterback. I mean,
they may know something we don't.
Unless they're trying to kick Aaron Rodgers out short of his full contract.
And that's probably it, but I want to also say that there's probably more, probably within the locker room itself. I'm willing to bet that Rodgers doesn't have a really good relationship with some of the guys in there right now. Or it might be between him and LaFleur itself. LaFleur was a first-year coach last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And those two
had
some hit and misses.
You've got their former coach now as your coach down there in Dallas.
Right. But I mean,
big old Mike McCarthy.
I think LaFleur's coming in, and he has his own vision as to what he wants for the team. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is really a part of that vision.
Which is wild, considering the fact that Rodgers got rid of McCarthy. They bring in the new guy because that's what Rodgers wants. Rodgers wanted a new person. And then for the coach to not want Rodgers there.
You know what they call that? Full circle.
That is.
It comes right around and gets you.
It may be coming back to kick him in the ass. It may very well be.
It very well be.
But on the win side.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, on the win side, the two things are, to me, are separate issues. Rodgers is a veteran. He's an MVP. He's a Hall of Famer, soon to be Hall of Famer. Wentz, you know, Robbie, I know you're an Eagles fan and stuff like that, but I mean, Wentz, I mean, he really hasn't, to me, he is put him in the same boat with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He hasn't proven himself enough yet.
Nope.
And he hasn't gotten to the game to win.
Well, I mean, he does have a ring on his finger, though.
Well, that's courtesy of...
He got them to the playoffs.
Of Nick Foles.
He did get them to the playoffs, though.
Yeah, and then he complained
about
his bet.
For Nick Foles to take over.
Yeah.
Old Big Richard Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And came in there. He took them on and did their thing against the Patriots, which the world celebrated thoroughly for.
Right.
Philly special. Even if that may have been a illegal line shift or whatever, who cares?
That's
Patriots lost. That's all that mattered in that point. And Robbie finally got to get his Super Bowl memorabilia, courtesy of myself.
Wentz hasn't really been there. He hasn't played a full season.
He's too injury prone, and that's maybe what Philly's looking at.
And that very well could be. I mean, but this is his fourth year?
No, he's already got a new contract, though.
Yeah, he got a new contract.
He's
already had a new contract.
But, I mean, they may just be looking at, hey, you know, he may not be the guy, and we already know that the other guy we had before him wasn't the guy.
We also didn't have the best backups either.
And neither did Dallas. Dallas always had a shitty backup.
And with Wentz being an injury-prone possibility, it's good to maybe have someone back there, possibly.
Yeah. Well, let's shift this around, Will. Let's go to what's happening in Pittsburgh.
In which position? Are you trying to specifically speak on the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, sir? Or just...
There are a couple issues that come to mind. We can talk about the quarterback issue and what's going to happen there, because sooner or later, old Ben's got to be retiring soon.
Yes, indeed.
And
it'll be a sad day in Pittsburgh and for all of Steeler Nation. Yes, it will be. Since he has been our best guy since Terry Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hands down, he is a future Hall of Famer himself. But, yeah, the quarterback position in Pittsburgh is something that does cause a majority of Steeler fans a bit of indigestion when thinking about.
It's something you ain't thought about. Now you're on the table.
Well, it's things true. Things are
boiling over now. You should have been thinking about this 2 or 3 years ago, honestly. I don't know why Pittsburgh has waited so long.
The coaching staff and the GMs and everybody appeared to be still solidly behind Mason Rudolph for right now.
I don't think he should be there.
Okay.
Catch a fucking helmet or something.
I mean, considering the situation that either Rudolph or Duck Hodges was put in last year, it wasn't a good position regardless, just because of the amount of injuries the Steelers had that they were dealing with. I mean, you're going into an almost impossible situation and told you've got to uphold the standard of winning tradition that the Steelers have been known for, especially since Ben showed up.
Right.
But the thing is with them, I mean, the defense is just spectacular. The Steelers defense has really stepped up, which we've been lacking here the last few years. Our defense was getting turnovers, getting sacks, doing everything they possibly could to keep us in the game every game. I mean, hell, we came close to still making the playoffs, regardless, even with Juju Smith being injured, James Conner being injured a lot of the season, both of them. I mean, we were on a running back by committee situation throughout the season. I mean, Jalen Samuels got injured for a little bit there. Then we had to bring in
Snell.
We had Benny Snell running it for a minute, and then he got injured for a couple weeks. We had another guy, Wythe or something. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, but he was brought in to try to help out. We've had a bunch of key positions just really not be able to perform because of just random injuries that just occurred. I mean, it's not necessarily something that you could prepare for. Your best goal is just try to make it work as best as possible with who you have available. Right. And that was our situation last year. From everything that I watched, there was a lot of close games for us. Hell, we tried to give the 49ers the game whenever we played against them early in the season. We kept turning the ball over, and then they'd turn it right back over to us. It was like, no, we want you to win. They finally went ahead and won, but they barely beat us. I mean, there was a few other games that came down to the wire that we ended up losing. So it's not that we were really in a bad position. It was just that we couldn't capitalize at the moments that we needed to. I'm not feeling too horrible about where we currently are, because you got both of the quarterbacks were first and second year in the league.
Yeah.
So they really haven't had much experience to be going off of leading into last season, having to step right up to the plate and command the team like they ended up doing.
Right.
So I've got to try to look at the positives, considering the Steelers did decide not to go after a quarterback in the draft. Or have yet to go after any of the vets that are popping around.
It's just weird that they're not making these moves, man.
Yeah. But
I feel like if they don't, collapse.
I still say that the Steelers won the first round of the draft this year, just because of the acquisition of Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's what we used our first round pick on, was to pick up Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. He came in and made an immediate impact and is just striving to get even better. So I still say we had the best pick, because he's already been proven. But that's just me. I don't know how y'all feel about y'all's first picks. That's how I feel about the Steelers.
I'll tell you what. I was really... I'm sorry, Robbie.
No, you're fine.
I was quite surprised with Dallas picking CeeDee Lamb. I was totally taken back. I thought we were going to go offensive tackle or center or whatever to replace Travis Frederick, who everybody knows announced his retirement.
I mean, that was a boss move, though.
It was.
For y'all to get CeeDee Lamb and for Jerry Jones and Steven and Anonymous Woman to be,
y'all saw that.
to be on a $250 million yacht somewhere out in the water somewhere to make the draft picks. I mean, that was... That was baller status if I ever saw it.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a lot better than Mike Vrabel's his video that he was portraying during the draft. That was probably the weirdest moment of the draft was when they were dealing with the Tennessee Titans pick. We'll come back to that. Go ahead, CeeDee Lamb. Incredible wideout. I had him on my fantasy team last year for college football, and that helped me win. So props to him.
Interesting. Yes.
But nonetheless, I mean, y'all got two really good wide receivers now. I mean, you have Michael Gallup as well. And who's your third guy or fourth guy? Because you had Cooper, Gallup, and...
We had Cobb, but Cobb signed with someone else.
Is Cobb gone?
Cobb is gone.
So you pick up CeeDee Lamb to replace essentially Cobb, but I have a feeling CeeDee Lamb's going to be better than Cobb ever was for y'all.
I agree. I think the whole offense is going to be shaping up better now. So,
I mean, our second round pick, the Steelers, just real quick. We went and picked up Chase Claypool. I tried to get his name correct. Mm-hmm. I was wanting to mess it up. But I know you don't like how the rookies are compared to players.
Right.
But looking at his size and his numbers, the fact that they are easily comparable to Megatron is no joke. The kid has massive size and incredible speed, great hands. I'm very happy with the fact that we might have Megatron Jr. in the making in Pittsburgh to go with our already very talented wide receiver crew that we do seemingly always have.
This is true.
How are you feeling about your first round pick there, Robert?
Honestly, I don't even remember who the hell we took.
Wow, what a fan, God damn it.
I paid too much attention to the draft. I'm not a fan of the draft process. I don't like how the draft works.
Let's talk about that for a minute. I agree with it.
I'm not a fan of it because, like, it needs to be more fan interactive. Yes, it's not about the fans. It's about the players getting drafted and what a big accomplishment that is. But do we really need to spend all this time in between picks?
I mean, 30 years ago, they didn't even have it televised pretty much. Well, it was just barely five. It was the heads of, the GMs or whoever, all in one little room, and then they just hand in their card.
Yeah.
See, and that was it.
Now
it's turned into a spectacle.
It is a spectacle. But here's one thing I would love to see, because the whole surprise factor has gone away with the draft.
There's no surprise
I can at least say for the top three picks, except for last year, which I think was a surprise shocker. But anyway, the top three picks usually are like on point. Everybody in the whole freaking world that watches college football and pro football all know who's going 1, 2, and 3, thanks to the media. If we could get the surprise factor back in to where no one fucking knows, as to who is going number one. I mean, we all knew Joe Burrow was going number one.
Yep.
We all knew Cincinnati was taking him. So there was no surprise. Everybody's like, yeah, okay, we already knew that.
Well,
let's get back to the surprise.
Only real surprises would have been trades.
Sure. But I'm saying there's no surprise when it comes. Everybody wants to know who that number one pick is, you know, or who's going to draft the first pick and whatnot. But let's make it a, get back to being a surprise, man. Keep everything hush hush until the freaking thing comes out. It I mean, the it's media. Hard
to do now. I mean, there's way too many insiders for that to even be possible. Half the organizations have some insider that they kind of talk to, or there's somebody within the org. Like, say, the Eagles, just pick your team. You have...
Just pick your team.
We'll have one person within your organization that talks to Ian Rappaport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm your inside guy, Ian.
Yep.
But then there's also another guy within your same organization that talks to... I don't know who else... give me an insider's name. You got Ian Rappaport, you got Schefter. Adam Schefter. You know, or John Clayton. Or somebody like that, you know. Yeah. You could have about five or six people leaking information out of your organization.
Because
I want to be that guy that kind of got it out there, even though nobody knows I was the guy that did it. But I still, you know.
But I mean, for me, that's the whole thing is like the like surprise factor.
If you want me to tune in for that long, give me something to be surprised about. Because if I already know what the first three are, why am I even going
to
watch it?
Because you're watching for your team to see what your team does. I'll
wait 20 minutes later until it's like the 10th pick.
Yeah, I'd wait till their pick and then just tune in or something. Yeah. Like, it doesn't.
But you don't necessarily know if your team's going to move up. All of a sudden, I'm hearing rumors that, you know, this particular player that I really want on our team is about to be taken by the Redskins.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, I'm not going to have to play against them twice a year. I'm moving the fuck up before the Redskins get their chance to pick them, and I'm trading with the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're a shit team, and they don't give a damn about anybody on their team. I'm going to trade... you know, my fourth round pick for your second round because you're willing to give it away like that, and I take the player. All of a sudden, you're tuning in at pick number 19 because that's when you expect them to be picking, then you realize, oh, I missed out on this.
Right.
Now, the only problem I had with this particular draft was the fact that they took as long as they did to get the picks in.
Yes.
There could have been a lot quicker paced.
Yes.
But they wanted to, I mean, they were given, I think, almost 10 minutes.
The first pick had 10 minutes. The first pick was 10 minutes. And I don't even know why that is.
They already know who they're getting. Exactly. Unless they're sitting there waiting to field calls about possibly a trade.
Right.
And for the first round, or the very first pick of the first round, you would be having to talk monster deals. So that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I can sort of understand that. But still, I mean, everybody knew there wasn't any surprise. I'm going to try to trade up to get the first pick. There was none of that.
No.
You can, the pick is in. All right. I mean, the problem, and what made it worse was, I don't know if it was Schefter or Rappaport, but one of them was tweeting out who the pick was before the commissioner even said who the pick was.
Right.
2 or 3 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on. That's messed up.
Yeah, it is.
If you're sitting there trying to watch it, but you've got your phone and you've got these people that you're following on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, whatever platform, you should not have your phone going off telling you what's already been picked. Before old Kamish turns around and says, you know, trying to hype up the Zoom crowd on his TV in his basement, in his man cave there, and then turn around and say, while showing them the pick, hey, this is who y'all got, let's go. And then turn around to the camera and saying, with the X pick, so-and-so picked this guy.
Yeah,
I know. I found that out 10 minutes ago. Can we move on to pick number... you know,
exactly.
down the road because we've already wasted that much time.
Yeah.
That was my only real issue with this year's draft.
Right. I think previous it's drafts, worse.
it's a bit more fluid. They're not giving out the picks that way. So it's not taking as much time to try to coordinate, calling people this, that, and the other. Maybe with all the COVID stuff, it finally gets the hell out of here and people get their right minds back and stop buying all the toilet paper and all this extra bullshit that they don't fucking need. Then I feel like if we get back to a sense of normalcy where we're doing as we used to with sports, I mean, there's always going to be some sense of change after all this going on, yeah. Which is somewhat good and somewhat bad at the same time. But, I mean, once we get back to a little bit more of a norm, we might, I don't see where the draft picks or watching the draft is going to be as tormenting as maybe this past right. year's was.
Right.
Because it's not going to take as long.
Right.
I would hope. Unless they're like, oh, this went so great, let's keep doing it. And then we're just still sitting there like, yeah, no, I hate the commissioner now again. Because you already showed all your tricks of how you're trying to relate to me with, I'm no longer in a suit and tie, I'm right. more a bit comfortable. Well, this is the third round of the draft, so now I'm in my comfy chair, which I usually watch the games in. I don't care. You can't keep telling me that every year now. It's a one-time deal. Move on.
Yep.
And show us what your wife is baking in the kitchen. I don't care. You know, like, cut open the cake and surprise, this is yep. round four and this is the pick for that team. It's in the right. cake. Like, I do a magic trick or some shit. I don't fucking care.
Magic.
So, speaking of the draft, let's go to a different gear, if you will. With Tampa Bay acquiring Tom Brady.
And then Gronk. Don't forget about Gronk. You know what I
mean? With Tom Brady first, as I would have to assume that this is a all or nothing year.
Well, he's got two.
I'm only thinking one.
I'll let you finish first.
You and Robbie's thoughts as to A, how long Tom Brady does last in Tampa Bay with Gronk. B, how long does Gronk last? Does he even make it through the season? Do both of them even make it through the season? And C, what comes after the Brady Gronk mini era, that I'll call it, because I only see him staying there for max 2 years. That's it. So I'll leave the floor to you, gentlemen.
You're gonna see Tampa Bay work some draft moves in the next couple of years.
Next year or two,
I'd say probably. I think Brady will stay his 2 years. Gronk's only going to stay depending on how the season goes. I think. If they do well enough and they make a playoff run, he'll be back another one because they're going to go after him and that'll be it. They'll both ride off in the sunset.
Do you see him making the playoffs?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
The first year?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, they'll make it.
All right. Wow. See,
and it doesn't even have to go with the skill or anything. It's called money. NFL needs it. NFL wants it.
Oh,
we're going down this road.
Sorry, it's gonna happen.
I have to kind of agree on that. It's gonna happen.
They may not be the best team, but they're gonna make the playoffs.
Right, because
they're gonna make the playoffs. It may be a wild card team.
I would really hate to see it happen.
Oh, that's why they went to seven teams for the pro season. Oh,
they're gonna make the playoffs.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. I am of a different mind. I've got to put that out there. I don't see them necessarily. They might squeak into the playoffs. If they make it, it's by number 7 for the NFC. They make it in as number 7.
As a wild card?
As the third wild card at that.
Okay.
Because they're not. You've got to keep in mind. All right. This coming year is only the second season for Bruce Arians and company as getting the system infused into the entire team.
Right.
All
right? Yeah.
So the first year is a learning curve anyhow. Every time, whenever you bring in a new coach, it's a learning curve trying to understand new plays, new schemes, and all sorts of stuff.
He has a really short learning curve here because he's got to figure this shit out real quick.
You would think, just for posterity sake, that, yes, this needs a... This is an instant, I must win now type of situation.
Right.
I think they might make it, might get enough together, figure out enough, bounce ideas off, and be able to put together, just based on the talent of the players involved, that being Gronk, that being O.J. Howard, that being Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Tom Brady, just on offense. The defense is already set. The defense is set because they're already number five in the league last year based off of what Arians and crew were able to put into place. So, you go and bring in the new players, you have it set up, and then they drafted the LSU running back as well. Good player, going to really help out their position if he's able to get acclimated instantly. Josh Jacobs was able to for Raiders last year, so it is more possible for a running back to get in and running, pun intended, I guess.
Yeah.
For a skilled player to jump right in out of college. But you've got the team, you've got the players. I have a feeling that they will get to the playoffs, they will squeak in, but they won't make it past, save the first round. The second year, everybody will all be on the exact same page. They will have had that year to learn for the new guys. They will have had that second year for everybody else to have gotten fully acclimated to the idea and the schemes and the playbook and this, that, and the other. That by that next year, not this coming year, but the following year, everybody will be fully invested in how Bruce Arians will do, and they will make a deep run into the playoffs. I'm still not saying that they will ever win the Super Bowl for the 2 years that Gronk and Brady might be there for, but I don't see them winning the Super Bowl with them. If they do win it, I don't see Brady or Gronk playing after that moment. They will officially retire for good. And that will be the be-all, end-all, because they can finally say, it was us, it wasn't Belichick. And that is what the biggest thing is for Brady and Gronk, is to be was the players, not the coach in that system.
That's very how good I see point. It. Very good point. I like that. I don't see Tampa Bay taking it. I don't see Tampa Bay doing anything. I want to say it's going to be a bust, this whole transition. And if it is what you're saying about Brady and Gronk wanting to prove themselves as it being the players and not the coach, that's going to be a hard fact to prove, despite the fact that Belichick, his system, he's taken them how many Super Bowls? How many have they won? They've only, I think, lost one. They've lost three.
He's won six.
9 times. He's been to the Super Bowl 9 times. What other coach can you think of has been to the freaking Super Bowl 9 times and what and how many years?
Belichick actually went more than that.
But with one team.
With Brady,
No other coach has done that.
No.
So for Brady and Gronk to turn around and say that it was the players and not the coach, there is a true statement to that. Yes, the players are the ones performing. I agree with that. No disrespect. But it's the system that allows it to happen. So they're out of the system now. Belichick's system.
It's going to prove both systems, Brady's and how he does his and what Belichick does. You're all going
to
see.
Which will be interesting to
because
see.
This is... This tenure that Brady has coming up with Tampa Bay is a, like, be-all, end-all for him. This is what's going to break him. Like, make or break the whole concept of him truly being the GOAT. He might. Both of them. He has that title currently, though I have my problems with it. But anyhow, he has that title of being the GOAT because he's won his 6 freaking titles and whatever. But he, with him going out there and going with a whole new system, new coach and everything, if he doesn't go out there and perform like we are accustomed to from Brady, then that's going to put a mark on his record to most people, I would expect.
Right.
At least, I know it would for me, and statistics would say, you know, if somebody thinks that, then there's probably at least a handful of other people that agree with that idea, too.
Right.
So, I think that would put a mark on him just to prove, like, see, it was Belichick that made you that good.
Right.
It wasn't just your skill.
Right.
If Brady goes out there and kills it, oh, well, obviously Brady truly is the GOAT. Because he can make any system work for him and he can conquer it all. Belichick has also the same thing going on with him. Is it because he had Brady?
True. That is
or
true.
Is it because he is that good? So he's going to have to go out there and prove it with Stedham.
Or whoever is he.
Whatever the hell that kid's name is that they have up there currently. That they're going to start with. Unless they go with Hoyer that's playing practically for free. But, I mean, that's what you got. You got, that's the bigger, that's one of the main storylines going into this season. Of course, it's always about Brady and Belichick. Once again, fucking hell. Alright, let's take a break. We'll holler at y'all on the other side. Alright, folks. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here for the day. I do have a correction I need to make. I misspoke in our last podcast when we were talking about Chris's teams that he liked as he was growing up. He made mention about liking Duke basketball. I asked him if it was across the board, and he ended up saying how he didn't even know Duke had a football team. Then I tried to make a quip in there about the star that has made it to the NFL from the team, but instead of saying Daniel Jones like I should have, I ended up saying Mitchell Trubisky instead, who is actually from UNC. So I wanted to clarify that point. I know I made that mistake and I do apologize to the listeners, but other than that, that will be a wrap for this episode, folks. We are going to call it a day, and we appreciate you once again for taking time out to listen to us. If you enjoy this, please be sure to share it to others so they can do the same. Your support means a lot to us all. So for everybody here that helps make Two Drunken Penguins what it is, I am Will, signing off for today. See y'all next time.